cut out, they don't wanna hear about it. It's only inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation. Hi, this is Debbie Mayer in Hudson, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 on your radio dial or streaming 24/7 at WGXC.org.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
This is Galen Joseph Hunter, Executive Director of Wave Farm. Our programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC sustaining supporters who provide critical monthly support to keep WGXC 90.7 FM on the air. Thank you for listening.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Valerie McCavany of Leeds, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Bethany Bump reports in the Times Union that Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute student Yeming Shen died from influenza earlier this week in his apartment in Troy. The 28-year-old had influenza A type of flu that, quote, comes on very sudden and severe, unquote, said Mary Fran Washinus, Rensselaer County's public health director. Shen is from China but had not traveled outside the U.S. for at least 13 months and did not have the novel coronavirus. Quote, as we stated yesterday, we do not believe there is any risk to the public, unquote, said Richard Christ, the county's director of operations, quote, our condolences to the family and friends of the student, unquote. But Dr. Leslie Lawrence, executive director for health and wellness on campus, said on campus there are, quote, five times the number, unquote, of flu cases than usual, and the campus is currently out of the flu vaccine. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Sarah Tafton is reporting for Columbia Greene Media. Greene County lawmakers, February 11th, authorized the Board of Elections to lease 29 image cast evolution machines in keeping with the state's early voting requirements. The machines facilitate voting by those with disabilities. The original resolution called for the machines to be purchased for $385,000, but lawmakers opted to lease them instead. The county also needs 30 e-poll pad units and two ballot on demand printers.
Those items will be financed by grant funding from the State Board of Elections, according to the resolution. Legislator Mike Bulick, a Republican who represents Catskill, said, and I quote, "Over the life of the machine, it ends up being about $30,000 a year to lease. But if you have to weigh it against it being electronic and the constant labor involved to keep these things up to snuff for basically a 10-year period," end quote. Board of Supervisors Chairman Matthew Morrell said Columbia County is still reviewing its options. The county election commissioners will be working together to develop an equipment replacement plan, he said. Murrell said, and I quote, "Almost all of our machines are at the end of life, and we will be replacing them over the next 2 years, or almost all of our machines are at the end of life, and we will be replacing them over the next 2 to 3 years," end quote. In 2019, 638 people voted early in Greene County. Columbia County recorded the highest percentage of early voters statewide with 7.5%, or 3,371 of the county's 45,201 registered voters voting early. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that transfer stations in Hunter and Catskill are getting brand new scales, and Windham is getting the used Catskill scale. Greene County is spending well over $1 million for the scales and to upgrade the Coxsackie and Hunter stations so they can export their own waste instead of trucking it to Catskill. A scale was installed in Hunter for $75,000. Another for Catskill has been ordered for $102,260 from Scale Service and Supply Company in Rensselaer. That includes moving the old scale to Windham. The scale in Hunter does not fit right, so the county is spending $1.4 million more on another scale, and the Hunter transfer station will be closed for 4 months while the new scale is installed. Greene County hopes to save $100,000 per year in trucking costs after the upgrades. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Paul Kirby is reporting for the Daily Freeman. Republican Kyle Van De Water has entered the race for the 19th Congressional District seat. Van De Water is a lawyer by profession and lives in Millbrook. He was born in Rhinebeck. He grew up in Poughkeepsie. Van De Water served in the U.S. Army in Afghanistan, where he was awarded the Bronze Star in 2011. He received the Meritorious Service Medal and was honorably discharged in 2014. Van De Water holds a degree in political science and economics. He earned his Juris Doctor from Albany Law School. He is currently an associate with Corbally, Gartland, and Rapulet in Poughkeepsie. He served as village trustee in Millbrook from 2017 to 2018. Delgado is facing two other challenges. Fashion designer Ola Hatwame, who is seeking the Republican line on the November ballot. And Steve Greenfield is making another run for the 19th Congressional District seat on the Green Party line. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Mid-Hudson News reports that a state official that wants a merger of the New York State Bridge Authority into the Thruway Authority claimed the Bridge Authority money would not end up subsidizing the Thruway operations. Local officials have lambasted the proposal, noting that Thruway Authority is currently in financial stress after replacing the Tappan Zee Bridge near New York City. The New York State Bridge Authority supervises five Hudson River bridges north of there, including the Rip Van Winkle Bridge that connects Greenport and Catskill. On February 11th, Assemblyperson Dee Dee Barrett and three other Mid-Hudson Valley State Assembly members sent a letter to Governor Andrew Cuomo and other legislative leaders saying that the merger, quote, would drastically and detrimentally affect both the economy and the overall quality of life in the region, unquote. Matthew Driscoll, executive director of the Thruway Authority, says those worries are unnecessary, quote, "This is really an opportunity to streamline government services by bringing two organizations who have overlapping roles and responsibilities, and we pretty much do the same thing," unquote, he said. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
Bill Mahoney is reporting for Politico New York. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo and President Donald Trump will meet Thursday, February 13th, to discuss the administration's ban on state residents participating in the federal government's expedited border cross program. Cuomo told Long Island News Radio that Trump offered a meeting and the earliest availability was Thursday. He said, and I quote, "I took him up on it," end quote.
New Yorkers have been blocked from participating in the Global Entry and Nexus programs because of the state's policy of allowing the undocumented to obtain driver's licenses, thereby prohibiting the sharing of DMV records with several federal agencies. Cuomo said Wednesday he will tell Trump he is willing to make changes to these restrictions. He said in a radio interview, and I quote, "I'll give you what I want. You want access to our database, our DMV database for trusted travelers. You can have it," end quote. Cuomo's office later clarified the governor was not promising, and I quote, "unfettered access," end quote, to the records. He would instead simply allow the feds to obtain the records of residents applying for the trusted traveler programs. Cuomo would not be able to offer that information on his own and would need the legislature to take action to allow such access. And you can read the full story at Politico New York.
Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that some state Senate Democrats floated rolling back parts of the bail reform laws passed last year, but Democrats in the Assembly were not interested in the changes. Activists rallying at the state Capitol February 12th didn't like the idea to reform the reforms. Quote, "You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig," unquote, said Stanley Fritz of Citizen Action. Previously, only people with means could get out of jail before they were convicted of most crimes. But state legislators last year eliminated bail for all but major crimes. The Senate Democrats are floating an idea to allow judges to determine whether a person should remain in jail while facing charges. Quote, "This law has only been in effect for 6 weeks, and I think in order to ascertain if any law is working, you need real data, real information, not cherry-picked stories and sensationalized events as to try to paint a picture of whether a law is working or not," unquote, Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie said. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Tim Martin is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Catskill High School boys varsity basketball team finished a perfect season with a victory over Coxsackie Athens February 11th. The Cats finished the season 16-0 in the Patroon Conference. The team has a non-league game at Cahoes scheduled for next week before they start sectional play. In the game Tuesday, the Cats trailed until the second half, then took the lead during the third quarter. LeVon Fernandez finished the game as team leader, scoring 32 points. Leviticus Johnson followed with 16 points, Devon Hay with 14, and Malik Christian with 11. The final score was 96-69. Catskill. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Thursday, rain and sleet with a temperature high near 42 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low of around 18. And on Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 42 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a low of around 1 degree. And that's your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Thursday, February 13th, the Hudson Common Council holds a housing authority meeting on the second Thursday of each month. There should be a live webcast at WGXC.org at 10:30 a.m. The Town of Austerlitz Town Board has changed the date of its meeting from February 20th, 2020 to February 13th, 2020. Meeting will be held at 7 p.m. On Friday, February 14th, Catskill's Brian DeWan takes listeners on a journey of love songs from past to present. Then, after 10 p.m., The Spell plays house, disco, new wave, and beyond. From the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, there should be a live broadcast of the entire show at WGXC.org and 90.7 FM, beginning around 8 p.m. The Ghent Playhouse presents The Chalk Garden at 8 p.m. on Town Hall Road off Route 66 in Ghent. Mostly Girls DJs KLH and Papa spin sounds at the Half Moon in Hudson on South Front Street at 9 p.m. On Saturday, February 15th, join us at the Berkshire Anatheum in Pittsfield, Massachusetts during Black History Month for a screening of the documentary Brought to Light, Unearthing the History of an African-American Cemetery in Kinderhook, New York, followed by a Q&A with director and producer Barbara Reina at 2 p.m. Paintings by Mary Brenneman, opening reception at 5 p.m. at Nicole Vidor Real Estate on Warren Street in Hudson. Show runs through March 15th. Lobico and DJ Modrums spin sounds at the Half Moon 7th Anniversary Party on South Front Street in Hudson at 7 p.m. E-Team presents a multimedia performance for the release of their new book, Grabeland, at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale on Warren Street in Hudson at 7 p.m. The Catskill Cats, Brona, and Bob O'Rourke perform at the Shamrock House on Route 145 in Durham at 7 p.m. The Avalon Lounge in Catskill presents Pom Pom's Punk Prom at 7 p.m. with live webcast on WGXC.org. Performers include Drug Bile, Super Always, Sonic Blue, Nine Votes Short, Phantom Sleaze, Dark Hippie, RBNX, Black Mesa, and Catskill's Pom Pom Girls. Edmund Bagnell, first violin and vocalist with the singing string quartet Well Strung, goes it alone in He Plays the Violin at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill at 7:30.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ann Cooper of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena. I am a student from MC Smith, and I am also from Hudson.
Hi, I'm AJ. I am a student at Leibri, and I have recently moved here from Manhattan.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Yay!
Books we love, books we hate, bookish things. I'm sorry, that was your line.
All that good stuff. So we're here to talk about some books today.
And books and books and books and books and books and books.
Who wants to start us off today? Whoa. Lena's taking out the mic with her excitement. Lena's going to start us off.
The book that I brought was called How to Make Yourself Cozy.
Yay.
A Guide for Practicing Self-Care by Katie Vaz. And I'm just going to read the back. It says, embrace the cozy pleasures of life with the Katie Vaz Interactive Guide to Self-Care. Freshly baked bread, cloud-like pillows, lavender tea. Make Yourself Cozy shows you how slow, cozy warmth can help you deal with anxieties and challenges of everyday life, filled with tips for creating the perfect atmosphere of coziness. This book encourages all of us to slow down and find joy in the little things.
It sounds interesting. What do you think of it so far? Have you begun reading it, or?
I have, and my sister has told me you can start at any page because, like,
it's like something you can. It's something you can start at any point, basically. You can, like, open up to any page and find something that might help you in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, and, like, they tell us about, like, for example, I'm just going to use one from the book. Take the edge off a rough day by unwinding in a warm bath or shower. Pay attention to the soothing feeling of warm water on your skin. Hmm. And, like, there's one that I really, really liked where it's, like, how to make yourself cozy while reading. And this is what the show is about. Play some music. Get yourself in a cozy spot and then start reading. And also escape into your favorite book. Like, it could be anything.
It looks like a fun read. You could just, like, open it to a random page on a day and be like, how am I going to make myself cozy today?
Yeah.
And just get a random selection. How do you like to get cozy? What's your favorite method?
My favorite method is to turn on the TV, watch Hulu, and the show that I watch is Steven Universe, and I'm binge-watching it because I just finished it, and I just, like, over here, like, no, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that, and then they do it anyways, and I'm over here, like, crying, like, why?
I actually watch Steven Universe a lot, too. I actually have an art book about it. I have the show's, like, art book, which I think I brought in one time, which is, you know, weird to put on the radio because it's an art book, and you'd think the main attraction would be the visual parts of it, but it's still cool to bring in. But I like, what do I do to make myself cozy? I can't remember the last time I was really comfortable. But I like to draw. Right now I'm illustrating my own tarot cards just to...
And drawing dragons?
And I do absolutely love to draw dragons still.
You could do a dragon tarot deck.
Oh my god. Yes, I could. I might need to do that.
Wait, what's a tarot deck?
It's a bunch of cards that tries to understand how to explain this. Basically, it's a kind of thing that you can use to predict future events or figure out what you want to do in your life. And there are all kinds of spreads you can use. They are split into two arcana, which is the major arcana, which is the Fool, Empress, Emperor, etc., etc. And then the suits, which are the minor arcana, which is the pentacles, the wands, the swords, and the cups. And right now I'm learning about all their meanings while also drawing them to kind of motivate myself to sit down and actually learn about them, because I couldn't really bring myself to just sit down and read about all these cards one after another and then expect myself to remember them enough to actually do a spread for myself.
What if the dragon card is something like, for example, there's going to be some fire and flame in life, but then maybe it's going to get better or something like that? Because, well, most dragons that I know,
breathe fire or
oh my
ice.
God. Hold on. Hold on. There's something in that sentence that I need to talk.
Oh, no.
You know, can you introduce me? but I basically, the point of illustrating a tarot card isn't really to make your own cards, but to illustrate the already existing cards to fit you. And you kind of use their meanings to figure out what you want to illustrate for them.
But AJ, is there something that you do to get cozy?
I either read or I bake, and after I bake, I eat.
Bake while listening to an audiobook, and then eat
then
your
bake,
baked goods while you're reading a book.
Then I read, then I bake, then I eat, then I read, then I
it's
bake.
A good life.
And that's my day.
I just remembered something that makes me cozy. One of the most important things in my day. Okay. So, the most important thing to do in my day to make me feel cozy is to eat while I'm watching Steven Universe.
Well, Steven Universe is one of those shows where, like, you know those shows where the way they animate food actually makes you hungry? It's one of those shows. They do that a lot.
Yeah.
It's actually very cool. Anyways, AJ, do you have a book you wanted to talk about? Or a story you want to tell?
I have both, actually.
Okay. What's the book you want to talk about?
Let's see. Mind trying to choose one of the awesome books that I read at the library while seeing Emily. Oh, yeah, there's the one that I gave Emily. It's called Go With The Flow. Yes, you have it here. Yay.
I brought that with me. I also read that book this week.
It was very good. So right now I'm just going to read the back. Good friends help you go with the flow. Best friends help you start a revolution.
Yeah.
Sophomores Abby, Britt, Christine, and Sasha are fed up. Hazleton High never has enough tampons or pads or adults who will listen. Sick of an administration that puts football before female health, the girls confront a world that struggles, or worse, squirms at the thought of administration revolution. They band together to make a change. It's no easy task, especially while grappling with everything from crushes to trigonometry to JV track, but they have one another's backs. That is until one of the girls goes rogue, testing the limits of their friendship and pushing the friends to question the power of their own voices. Now they must learn to work together to raise another up. But how do you stand your ground by raising bloody hell?
Oh my gosh, can I see that book? Wait, is that a graphic novel? Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so there are four girls, like they mentioned, Abby, Rick, and Steen, and Sasha. And my most favorite characters are, I haven't really gotten their names down yet. But there's a blonde girl with glasses, a black girl with braids, a white girl with red hair, and this Asian girl. And, well, I like all of them, really, but I like I'm just going to call them the glasses girl and the other. And the last girl I mentioned, Sasha, I finally got one name right, yay, which is the Asian girl. Fine,
that's
now
cool.
You can take it immediately.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. So I think they're going into their sophomore year. I can't remember if that said that in the description.
Yes, it did.
And three of them are, you know, friends that have been friends for some time. And then the other girl, I also do not remember who is who, their names.
I think that one's Sasha because she's the only one that wasn't like part of the group beforehand.
Okay. But one girl moves to town, so she's new to school. And on one of her first days in school, she has her period. And she gets some stains and people make fun of her.
They call her Bloody Mary.
Yeah. And then the other three who are friends pull her away because she hasn't known what was happening at first. They bring her into the bathroom and they help her out and help her work through this embarrassing moment and become friends through that experience. But when they're in the bathroom, they realize that the vending machine in the bathroom not only charges you to buy tampons and pads, but it also is empty. And so
put in money and then
one of them, who is an artist and a bit of an activist, wants to make that a change. She wants to talk with the administration and make sure that both the machines are filled regularly and that ideally they're free. But of course, there's some pushback from the administration because they're like, we don't have the money. It's a budgetary issue. She's like, well, why is the football team getting new costumes? Or not new costumes, new uniforms. Costumes.
If they were getting costumes, yeah, maybe new Halloween they're going costumes. To go for play.
Yeah.
Like they're going to put a play as their playing. Yeah.
So it becomes a question of like, what are the school's priorities and how are women's basic products and needs treated versus like other things? Yeah. Like, why is toilet paper made free, but women's sanitary products are not? When it's a totally natural thing that happens to women.
Yeah.
And it talks about also how it's not just women that have periods. There's also trans men and gender non-conforming folks, too. Huh. So that's nice, too, that it includes that.
Cool.
It's a very good book.
I'm still reading Bitten very, very, very slowly because it's bad and I don't like it, but I need to. I need to win this bet. And I say this like I need to win this bet, but really there's no bet going on. It's more of just a testament to my integrity and my pride that I keep reading this book. But we have started writing more in creative writing. We've all gotten to the point where we've written our own microfictions instead of just finding ones to use as examples. So we're doing that.
Did you bring some that we can share?
Yes, I did.
And I think, weren't you saying, AJ, before the show, that your mom had come up with a 3-word story, I think it was?
Well, two-sentence.
Two-sentence.
But it was actually a 3-word story.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us that one while Amelia's pulling up her story?
It happened. Again.
It happened. ... Again.
That's seriously the way that she told it to me.
Okay.
So, this is a microfiction, which is basically defined by being under 500 or 1,000 words. The definitions vary, but I think our teacher used 1,000 words, but I'm pretty sure mine is under 500.
All right, so I'm going to read this. Does it have a title?
No.
Okay. We'll call it Cowboy Grandpa. Just kidding.
No!
No! That was an old show joke. Anyways, okay. So this is by Amelia Ortiz. I landed on this foreign planet in January. For the first few years, I would meticulously keep track of the time. I soon became too busy with my research to do that. I've had many experiences upon this strange world, most of which would terrify any sane person. The storms are especially ferocious, kicking up angry auburn clouds as far as one can see. I have also made countless groundbreaking discoveries. Within my first few years, I found ice here, and by extension, water. This may be of great importance to those I report to back on Earth. However, it is not of importance to me. I do not require hydration. Interesting. That was me, not the story. Yeah. The truth is that I am dying. I knew that I was destined to die here from the moment I landed. I have long since come to terms with that fact. I can only hope that those back home will not mourn the loss for too long. I have fulfilled my purpose. I just hope my battery lasts long enough for me to see one more sunset. Back on Earth, June 2018, major news websites all rush to report the news. The Mars rover dies, ending its 15-year mission. Ooh, that's pretty cool.
I have a poem.
You have
to
a poem?
Share, and I stole it off the internet because I have nothing original to share.
Today.
Today, just for today.
Yeah, because you have original things
that have
you've shared before.
Yeah, I'm
crying. That was really cool, though, Amelia.
Thank you.
I liked it. I like how it's like each little moment, it's like, oh, what I was picturing just changed.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, again. What I was picturing just changed again.
So the really agonizing thing about this is that we are not allowed to actually figure out who commented because we were peer editing today. So we all get red pens and we're all very proud of our red pens. But I haven't gotten to see the notes on mine yet because that's what we're doing tomorrow, even though I've edited other people's and I'm sitting here like wondering, like, what did they say about mine? We're not allowed to. Our teacher won't let us.
Okay, yeah. So I have it up. And the poem is from Doki Doki Literature Club, and it's made by Natsuki, like a character. And so the poem is called, Eagles can fly, monkeys can climb, crickets can leap, horses can race, owls can seek, cheetahs can run, eagles can fly, people can try, but that's about it.
It's nice.
Yeah.
If you wanted to read another one of mine, this one could count as microfiction too, but technically I wrote this before we started working on microfiction. This is the one, I think I talked about this last time, where we had to choose a word off the board and use it as our inspiration, and this is what I did. You're going to see a sci-fi theme with my work for some reason, I'm not sure why.
So do I say what the inspiration is or not?
Yeah, you can go ahead and say it.
Okay. So the inspiration is cat, which we all know. I love cats.
Yes.
We were scared at first. Aliens had finally come to Earth, and it wasn't in the form of cheap Photoshop or government conspiracies. Oh no, there was no conspiracy that could possibly hide this. Spaceships appeared over government buildings in every corner of the world. News stations reported on it for days as the ships just hovered in their places. Some people hid. Some people stayed with their families waiting for the end. Others took their fate into their own hands. Suicide rates skyrocketed in all nations during those long, fear-ridden days. Until finally, the extraterrestrials made contact. Cute is how they described us. Absolutely adorable. They viewed us as one would view a cute animal. For eons, they had apparently watched us, wasting hours on us as we would waste hours on cat videos. It wasn't long until we found a way to exploit this. Interstellar trade began. Our main export was videos of us simply doing mundane things, playing with toys, caring for our children, even sleeping. The aliens ate it up. We shouldn't have been so optimistic. We should have proceeded with more caution. Their technology exceeded our own. It was the same story with their weaponry, although they would never dare use it against us. No, they had more humane ways of capturing us. How long did we expect them to be satisfied with just videos? How long did we expect this to go on before they decided to make us their pets?
We're the cats.
We are pretty cute.
I love that you're absolutely distraught. We're the cats coming at the end of it.
Well, some of us are
that was
acting.
The horror quick write we did. So that was meant to be horror, but I found a way to make it sci-fi anyway.
Some of us are active, so we're the dogs, and then people who are non-active are cats, and I'm most likely going to be a cat. Because
I'm definitely a cat. However, I do like the idea that if I did not have the inspiration of cats for this piece, then I could make them pretty much any pet I wanted to. To which I must bring up the concept of what dog and cat shows would be like in this universe on their planet. Do we get groomed? Do they show us off? I don't know. But yeah.
Wait, does that mean we get to watch Hulu?
I mean, there are apps on iPads for cats where they have like the little fish swimming around. So maybe that's just their Hulu. I've come very close to downloading that for my cat, but she would not do anything with it. She would sit there, because she's lazy, and not do anything.
Oh.
I love my cat, though. I love her so much. I insult her so much. I feel bad. She's so good.
That's really great. I love short stories. I don't read them often enough, but I just listened to one the other day because our friend, Amelia and my friend, and someday your friend as well, AJ and Lena, but our friend Sam J. Miller, who we've talked about on the show before, who's one of our favorite authors, had a birthday recently.
Oh,
happy birthday, Sam. So he had a birthday recently, and he said for his birthday, if people wanted to consider nominating him for his short story for a Nebula or Hugo Award for those of his friends that can nominate, which isn't me. He was like, here's the short story I wrote, and here's how you can read it. And I was like, well, I can't nominate him, but I could listen to his short story. And it was really good. I think it was called Shattered Hearts. And he writes speculative fiction primarily, and it was set, I forget when, back in the time when King Kong was out, because sort of the aftermath of a King Kong episode. It was really good. So I can't vote for him, but, you know, hope he gets nominated for some awards for that. It's a great short story.
Yeah, but it's a very, very, very short story. Well, I actually have two, and they're not really as much stories as sentences, but these are ones that my mom tells me when I'm, like, begging her for a story, but she's like, no, but I'll tell you just one short story. Here's the first one. Once upon a time, the end. And then there's another one. Do you know a short story about a boy named Lori? There, that's the beginning and end of that story. The end. Really short stories.
It isn't my favorite short story I've ever heard, but it's something, you know? It's not nothing. Does anyone have anything that they're either reading currently or looking forward to reading?
No.
I'm trying to think. I mean, at some point, I'm probably going to sit down and just blast my way through that Pokemon book I brought a couple days ago with the Pokemon biology. Yeah. Just because I'm a nerd, and that's a thing I want to do. I also really want to reread all my ology books, because my dad has said that I might get more out of them now than when I did when I was little and was just fascinated by the pictures. That would be cool to do if I ever had the willpower to sit down. I have, like, God, I have 10 of those, I think.
How about you, AJ? What are you looking forward to reading? If anything. It can be, if it's not a title, it can also be a type of book.
Maybe just books in general, because I have so many books to choose from, especially when I'm at the library. I'm like, look, there's a cool book over there. Maybe there's a book over there, over there, over there, over there. And even the walls look like books. It's just too much.
I remember when the Hudson Library was like, when we could go to it the first time. I remember, like, I was like, Mommy, are those walls made out of real books? No.
Because we have wallpaper that looks like books.
Yeah.
I've heard a ton of people actually ask that question, if those are actually books up there, because it is very realistic and it's really nice.
I like it. We also have a new friend up there by that wallpaper. Next time you're in, you can check them out.
Ooh,
we have a Rapunzel.
Oh.
Oh.
We're getting ready for the summer reading program, even though it's quite far away.
Are 10-year-olds allowed in the summer reading program?
You can be any age.
Oh, I remember them being like, oh, it's only for tweens and teens last year.
Well, we have some programs that are geared towards certain ages, but
okay.
I feel like 10 is this nice age where you can be in the tween and teen programs, but you could also be in the kids programs.
Yeah, me over here like...
Lucky.
Barney is a dinosaur tomorrow.
I remember volunteering on for the summer reading program last year, and it being the very, very little kids programs. That was fun. I also did a couple programs over there. Sam J. Miller ran one. It's his fault. That's why I'm so into sci-fi. It's because of him. Because that was what that program was, a sci-fi writing course.
Oh, yeah.
So I wrote a short story about this alien girl with skin like a poison dart frog. So she was very poisonous, but very, very colorful, and so very sought after, who was like basically kept in a display case the way one would keep an actual pet frog, and was just kind of put there in a rich person's house. And I never finished that story, but I did start writing a story that was like a collab with several boys who were much, much younger than me, which was great. But But I started collabing with them, and I wrote what is, oddly enough, probably the most outlandish story I've ever written, but probably my most favorite one, because I still write it, add to it sometimes when I'm bored in school, which is about two aliens from two warring planets crashing into a guy's truck, and to get them to help him pay back a new truck, he has them work at his, like, pizza place that he owns, and no one basically asks, because he owns this pizza place, so no one dares to ask why there are aliens working in the pizza place. And it was very outlandish, but it's fun to just not have to worry about logic for a little while and just kind of, like, write that for fun. It's so much fun to write.
Not as much fun as reading, though.
Okay.
Depends on who you are, and it might depend on the day, too, because I know Amelia loves to read and to write, so.
I do very.
For me, I'm like, read, 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 read. Do other stuff. Read, 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 read.
We're just about out of time for today, but we thank you all for listening and hope you all have a good week and read lots of good books. Do lots of bookish things. Maybe write some sci-fi about cats or other things. Whatever inspiration you find.
Why are you so obsessed with cats?
Because they're amazing. I'm like the aliens. But anyways, happy reading. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
I don't want to be funny anymore. I don't want to be funny. Lately, I've been feeling like the odd man out. I heard my friends saying things I don't mean out loud. We'll be right back.
the Public News Service Daily Newscast for February the 13th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. From Politico, a powerful hospitality workers union in Nevada accused supporters of Senator Bernie Sanders of attacking the group after it circulated a flyer criticizing Sanders' Medicaid for All proposal. According to Politico, the clash between Sanders, who heads into the state's caucuses next week as the frontrunner for Democrats, and the culinary union began earlier this week. The flyer obtained by the Nevada Independent conveys approval for the health care plans of four candidates, Biden, Buttigieg, Klobuchar, and billionaire Tom Steyer. The union has yet to endorse any of the Democratic presidential hopefuls. In Maryland, the first-in-the-nation Lynching Truth and Reconciliation Commission has the potential to redefine how America confronts a violent legacy of white supremacy.
One of its first missions is to find more stories of racial lynchings in the state, according to commission member Nicholas Creary. Creary began researching lynchings in Maryland about 5 years ago with his undergraduate students at Bowie State University. He says they found 40 that took place between 1854 and 1933, when historians thought there were only 28. Creary describes the case of Howard Cooper of Baltimore, who was lynched in 1885.
He was reported as being 20-something-year-old man who attacked a white woman. He was one of the few who actually got a trial, but the jury didn't even leave the jury box, and they voted unanimously to convict him. You know, less than 5 minutes to come to that. That's when they lynched him.
He says the findings inspired him to meet with a Maryland state delegate who then helped pass legislation to form the Lynching Truth and Reconciliation Commission. I'm Diane Bernard.
This story was produced with original reporting from DJ Kashmir for Yes Media. And this year, the U.S. Supreme Court expected to decide three cases that could determine whether or not federal discrimination protections apply to LGBTQ workers.
And a new report maps how widely protections vary across the nation. Logan Casey with the Movement Advancement Project and the report's author says if the High Court does not confirm federal protections, LGBTQ workers will continue to be subject to a patchwork of state laws.
And in Nebraska's case, Nebraska is a state where under state law, it's perfectly legal for an LGBTQ person to be fired or not hired or otherwise discriminated against in the workplace because of who they are.
More than half of states still lack basic employment non-discrimination protections. Nebraska state lawmakers have not yet voted on LB 627, a measure designed to ensure that LGBTQ workers in the state are treated fairly. The report classifies Nebraska as one of 12 negative equality states, its lowest ranking, but Casey says there have been improvements over the past decade. I'm Eric Galatis.
This is PNS. After past attempts to gut funding for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, the Trump administration's new budget plan funds the program at current levels. Mary Sherman reports some advocacy groups say the support is undermined by drastic cuts to other core clean water programs.
President Donald Trump's proposed fiscal year 2021 budget proposal slashes Ohio's funding for sewer upgrades and repairs by about one-third and for drinking water infrastructure by one-fourth. Policy Director with the Healing Our Waters Great Lakes Coalition, Chad Lord, explains that's money used to keep drinking water safe and prevent problems such as the 2014 Toledo water crisis, when toxic algae contaminated the city's drinking water.
At a time when we need to significantly boost water infrastructure investments, the president's budget is a giant step backwards. If the president's proposed budget were enacted, states like Ohio and Michigan would each lose about $6 million to deal with drinking water infrastructure.
The EPA has estimated that approximately $179 billion is needed over the next two decades. Lord contends the White House budget is a non-starter and says the coalition is calling on congressional leaders to restore funding for clean water programs.
Tourism and economic development organizations say South Carolina's national parks and historic sites are in desperate need of repairs. Pending federal legislation that uses money from the oil and gas company fees paid to the federal government could provide the funds. Kelly McWhorter heads the Greenwood Regional Tourism and Visitors Bureau.
Our national site is utilized as much by locals as it is by visitors. Can you imagine from a visitor's perspective, they've plan this day, and then they come and the section of the park or trail that they wanted to use is not open.
South Carolina is home to seven national parks, historic sites, military sites, and monuments. Finally, our Mark Bowen reports several groups are trying to shine a light on what they call a big problem in North Dakota, the disappearance of the independent grocery stores in small towns.
A new program called the Rural Grocery Initiative is aimed at keeping these stores open. According to the Association of Rural Electric Cooperatives, there are only 98 full-service grocery stores in North Dakota communities with less than 2,100 people. That's why the association is working with groups such as the North Dakota Farmers Union on solutions through this initiative. The union's Jason McKinney says people living in these towns need a good range of food options.
We need to have food in these communities to help people stay in their homes longer and to have another access to food, quality, healthy food.
Officials who oversee the program say a plan they're trying out is to get these grocers to buy their products collectively so that prices might come down for them. I'm Mike Clifford from Public News Service. We are a member and we're listener supported. We're online at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. Some slick services this morning as rain continues to fall with a chance of sleet mixed in. Watch out for some snow also in higher elevations. Temperatures start at 33 degrees and rise gently to 40 by 4 p.m. Around that same time, the rain should die down. Overnight temps begin their deep slide, reaching 21 degrees by dawn tomorrow. Winds pick up, bringing extra chill to those temperatures, which don't get any higher during the day, and then continue their slide even further at night, reaching almost zero by sunup on Saturday. Let those faucets drip. Sunset today will be at 5:04 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:54 a.m. Looking way up, we see records are being broken by North Atlantic traversing airplanes. Climate conditions have produced the fastest moving jet streams ever. Like dropping a kayak into rushing water, they're just carried away by rushing air, significantly reducing the amount of radiation exposure for the passengers. The latest record was set by British Airways Flight 112 on February 8th. A mid-latitude coronal hole on the sun will spark minor magnetic interactions on the 15th. Solar wind speed is currently 349 kilometers per second at 3 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1. Quiet. There have been 11 days since the last sunspot, and this has been the better weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Columbia Green Media is reporting Ichabod Crane's Maddie Graham is now a member of the 1,000 Career Points Club. Graham hit the goal in advance of going into the Colonial Council game Friday, February 13th against Catholic Central. She finished the night with 32 points, and the Riders defeated the Crusaders 60-51. Graham becomes the second player in program history to reach the 1,000-point mark, joining Tani Hines-Bickerton. Hines-Bickerton went on to star at Division I Seton Hall, is currently the modified coach at Ichabod Crane. Maddie played for her for 2 years in 7th and 8th grade. Riders coach Adam Voris said, and I quote, "She was unbelievable tonight. CCHS played her close all night. She did not get many open looks and made a lot of contested shots," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Abby Hoover is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Developers are looking to build a 50-room hotel in the former McKinstry Mansion located at 7th and Union Streets in Hudson. Representatives of the project developer, 620 Hudson House LLC, presented a proposal to the Columbia County Industrial Development Agency and City Planning Board on February 11th. The plan will be discussed with the Hudson Historic Preservation Committee on February 28th. The historic brick structure housed a home for the aged for nearly 100 years. While the 620 Hudson Group is not looking for bond financing, it is asking the IDA to take an interest in the property and lease it back. Company would have all the obligations of ownership. The group's attorney, Joe Scott, said, and I quote, "What we are looking for is an exemption from New York State sales and use tax, and we have estimated that amount to be $250,000, end quote. F. Michael Tucker, president and CEO of the Columbia Economic Development Corporation, said the project would help the IDA get, and I quote, back on track, end quote, after the Wick Hotel project in 2016. The existing building is 15,000 square feet, but the final project will be double that size. When complete, the hotel would create 30 new jobs, developers say. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Cairo Police Department announced February 12 changes to its drug take-back program. Officer in charge and Sergeant Richard Bush said the department's medication disposal bin was set up in 2017, and last week a new 8-camera security system was installed. Bush said, and I quote, the cameras are positioned in a manner to follow the contents of the disposable bin. The contents of the disposable bin. The whole activity is recorded on camera from the bin to the storage room, end quote. Despite the surveillance, Bush says the service remains, and I quote, fully confidential, end quote. The cameras are not used to track who is disposing of medication, he said. Upcoming changes include bolting the medication disposable bin to the floor of the entrance to the police station. In addition to the bin at the police station, the department conducts drug take-back days every 6 months. Bush said the program has been effective. He said, and I quote, every 6 months we dispose of 6 to 9 cases of medication, end quote. Each case can hold anywhere from 20 to 40 pounds of medication apiece. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Thomas C. Zambito is reporting for the Journal News. State Attorney General Letitia James is asking the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to listen to New York's concerns over the pending sale of the Indian Point nuclear power plant to New Jersey-based Holtec International. The plant is scheduled to shut down in 2021. James this week called the deal to sell Indian Point, and I quote, very risky, end quote, and urged federal safety regulators to consider the state's concerns before moving forward. The agreement would have current owner Entergy transfer ownership of the 60-year-old power plant to a subsidiary of Holtec when the plant is closed down next year. James said, and I quote, putting the decommissioning of Indian Point in the hands of a company with no experience and uncertain financial resources is very risky, end quote. The state is concerned that Holtec does not have sufficient funds available to cover the decommissioning process. A Holtec spokesperson said the company is capable of managing a safe and efficient decommissioning effort, and I quote, which can be completed decades sooner than if Entergy performed the work, end quote. The first of Indian Point's 2 working reactors is slated to be shut down in April. State and federal lawmakers have asked the state to step in and make sure the process is handled properly. State Senator Pete Harkman said, and I quote, nuclear energy has been produced on this site for nearly 60 years, so contamination of the environment is a distinct risk if dismantling the reactors is mishandled, end quote. You can read the full story at LoHUD.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website at